Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. So glad you're with us today. Lots to cover on this Wednesday program. Some good guests, some good information to get to, and glad that you're with us as we begin this program today. Live weekdays, 11 a.m. here on the Big X Sports Radio. Coverage of Indiana, coverage of sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. A little different than most other things you'll find on this station, and of course, across the dial here in Kentuckiana, but we're focused on IU, we're focused on sports in Southern Indiana, and we're glad to have you along with us. Hopefully you're with us every day. If not, the show is live at 11, the replay most days at 3 o'clock. Podcast is available on SoundCloud and Apple Podcast. Easy ways to connect with the program if you can't catch us live on the Big X, and we're glad you're with us. IU coming off of getting a commitment earlier this week, and it's a commitment that we don't really know that much about, and really he's a player that everybody's starting to find more out about, and thankfully the IU coaches were involved in his recruiting before a lot of others jumped in with the rate that he stock increased, no question about it. But coming off of that commitment, kind of looking at what's next in the class of 2020 for Indiana, there's really nowhere to turn in Indiana. Normally we always have a player, a possibility, someone in the state that's kind of the go-to focal point in recruiting. And in the 2020 class, with Leal and Galloway already in the fold, it's out of state. There really are no other options that are uncommitted at this point. And really, that Indiana had recruited at a real serious level, nobody left. They got the two that they wanted the most, that they recruited the hardest, and definitely the longest. So this is kind of interesting. Matt Cross is off the board. He committed to Miami yesterday. We're going to talk about that coming up in the headline segment. But it really is interesting with Bridges and Cross now gone, and no surprise with Cross off the board. Geronimo and him, from what I've read, from what you can tell, probably not going to take both of those players, which is why one of them may have committed quick to secure the spot. But kind of interesting to see what exactly is next. And the interesting thing is, obviously, there's some other 2020 names that Indiana's involved with, but there might be more than just one more. There might be more than just two more added to the class. So it could definitely be interesting to see how things play out with recruiting from this point forward. The good news is it's the fall time. This is the opportunity for visits. Hoosier Hysteria is coming up, which is a big recruiting event as well. A lot of visits happen during football games, college football games as well. So lots of opportunities to get guys on campus, and I'm sure we'll find out sooner rather than later. Maybe not who's going to be the next commit, but who perhaps is the leading front runner or two that Indiana is focusing on now that some of these guys are off the board. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Today we talk about Matt Cross picking Miami in our headlines. IU players going through their annual fitness test, according to Coach Cliff Marshall. We'll talk about that for a moment. Freddie McSwain, former IU player. He's going to play some professional basketball overseas. We'll tell you about that. And one little tidbit about the IU women's program. Also, I spoke with Todd Satterley, the Jeffersonville athletic director. A little bit of an update. Nothing major on the Jeffersonville boys basketball position. We'll cover all of that in the first segment. Later in the program, we'll be joined by Dustin Dopirak of The Athletic. He joins us today to talk IU basketball. We're going to talk Jordan Geronimo's commitment to the Hoosiers, recruiting in general, Matt Cross going to Miami, and maybe what could be next, some of the targets for Indiana, and what the fall looks like from a recruiting perspective for this program as well. And I'm sure we'll get into some other stuff about the team for this upcoming season as well. We always do when Dustin is with us. He's had all sorts of great work recently on the athletic.com, the Indiana page. In fact, I think I saw yesterday or this morning in-depth preview on Butler. He's now, I think, hit all three of the big programs in Indiana. Those are really interesting. Even if you're not a Butler fan, it's just interesting to read and find out a lot more. These are in-depth deals about our upcoming college basketball season teams here in the area. So we'll cover that and more with Dustin Dolpirak when he's with us later in the program. And then always on Wednesdays toward the end of the show, Craig Pearson, the sports editor of the News and Tribune, he will be in studio with me. That segment has now got a sponsor. It's presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 t-shirt. We'll be telling you a lot more on the Big X about Major League Shirt Company on this program. You'll hear some commercials for them as well, but we want to welcome them into the fold as a sponsor of the Hoosier Report. Craig will join us to talk local sports headlines. Hard to not talk some football. New Albany and Jeff coming up on Friday night. A rivalry game, and one I'm excited about because I think it's two teams in fairly similar positions. I'm really not sure who the favorite is, to be honest with you. I know New Albany has a win over Evansville Harrison, who I'm not sure is very good this year. Jeffersonville, two losses. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think it'll be a great game. Could be a very competitive game all the way down the stretch. We'll talk some about that. Silver Creek at Providence is interesting as well. We'll cover some of the football headlines. And we've got to talk some about Joe Luce leaving Jeffersonville. It's still fairly fresh news. Craig Pearson has had a number of stories about the situation. He's even taken a stab at some potential candidates for the job. So we will talk with Craig Pearson of the News and Tribune later in the show. That segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company. That's a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. It's how we begin the program each day. From a recruiting perspective, so much talk, so much discussion, and really excitement as well because of the player he is and also the potential he has to become even a better player at the college level. Of course, I'm talking about Jordan Geronimo, IU's latest verbal commit in the 2020 class. However, like all things, when you get a commitment, there could often be a reaction to that commitment, and that is Matt Cross has selected Miami. Of course, Matt Cross, another player from up east that attends school at Brewster Academy, played for Boston Amateur Basketball Club in the spring and summer. Indiana was thought to be in a really good position with him, but there is some similarities, it appears, from those that know those players a lot better than I do. And just from their builds and their positions and some of the videos that I've seen, not surprising that the two probably in the same class are not going to play college basketball at the same location. So Matt Cross, off the board, no longer a candidate at Indiana. It was thought that he was going to make a decision within the next week and a half or so. That was from over the holiday weekend. He had said that to a reporter. But obviously, now that Geronimo to Indiana, he's going to go ahead and lock in his space at Miami of Florida for the foreseeable future, at least for his college career. So Matt Cross, a prospect that we've talked a lot about, a very intriguing player as well, off the board going to Miami. Coach Cliff Marshall, strength and conditioning coach, athletic performance, I think, is his official title for IU men's basketball. He put out an interesting tweet yesterday. It says, the annual Indiana men's basketball fitness test. Dr. Larry Rink and athletic trainer Tim Garl have used this evaluation for more than 30 years to assess VO2 max, which is aerobic endurance, and to ensure each player's heart and lungs function properly during exercise. And he's got some videos of a couple different players being hooked up to, I guess, treadmill-looking contraptions with some things hooked around their waist, some things hooked around their body, I'm assuming connected to read all the things that are necessary to do that test on each player, even a mask over their face as well, obviously for breathing. So interesting stuff. high-level stuff is what it looks like to me, and it's that time of year, Indiana really gearing in for the upcoming season and doing some of the necessary things to get ready for the upcoming season as well. Freddie McSwain, former IU basketball player, he is going to be playing overseas. He's told a couple reporters, in fact, Ben Steiner of Amoco Hoops, I think, was the first to report this. He is going to play with a team, and I'm not going to attempt to pronounce the name of the team, but it's in the top league in Brazil. So Brazil, I don't know, it's known for great overseas basketball, but playing in the top league, he has the opportunity to play a game that he's gotten a lot better at as well and get paid also. So look for Freddie McSwain, another former Hoosier playing professionally overseas. One quick note, IU women's basketball, really intrigued by what they've been able to do the last couple seasons, and perhaps the direction that they are still headed in looks to be very positive. A way too early top 25 of women's basketball has the Hoosiers ranked. Coach Terry Morin, I think, after a women's NIT title 2 years ago, second round, I believe, NCAA tournament appearance last season, has that program headed in a very good direction. No big news on the Jeffersonville coaching job. I did touch base with Jeffersonville Athletic Director Todd Satterley this morning. Basically, they are beginning to look over applications that have been received. Apparently, a number of coaches, despite the timing, even though that this is the week when limited contact, two-day-a-week practices and workouts and open gyms can begin, which is only year two of that new rule, a number of coaches have applied for the job. Don't really have names at this point. Not even sure if we would get into names with the high school job. But he does hope to have interviews next week. And obviously, this is a timely hire. He said time is of the essence. The Red Devils hope to make a decision at the very latest would be the end of this month, with obviously the hope and the possibility that a decision could come much sooner than that, so they can get a new boss in to work with the Devils, who are going to have, I think, a great year no matter who's on the sideline. All sorts of talent, lots of college prospects, old and young, seniors and juniors and sophomores that are very intriguing for this upcoming season. The interesting thing, and I don't know that anybody knows the answer to this right now, but again, does Jeffersonville find a quality interim candidate that's going to get the Devils through the year and then have the opportunity to apply for the permanent position? Or does Jeffersonville think the pool of candidates right now is pretty good and they've got a superstar in the mix and they can hire a permanent coach sometime in September that's going to stay with them not just for this season but for the future as well? So the Jeffersonville opening, it's not often really that a big job comes open, although that Jeffersonville job, if you look back in the last 20 years, I think this is 8 or 9. I had counted it up. I'll have to go back and look, coaches that they've hired, which is really unheard of for a program of the size and stature that they are. But never do you hear of a job coming open at this time in high school basketball in the state of Indiana. Just a very odd situation, very odd timing, but good to hear from Coach Satterley, the AD, that's still a number of applicants to look over right now. So we'll keep you posted. That's a little bit of a tidbit there on the Jeffersonville coaching position, which, of course, was vacated last week with some crazy circumstances, Coach Luce resigning from the position. That's a look at the headlines for this Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Don't forget, on Friday night, we've got wall-to-wall high school football coverage. Our feature games this week, New Albany at Jeffersonville and Silver Creek at Providence. We'll have the opportunity to flip back and forth and have play-by-play from both of those contests. We'll also have call-in reports from Floyd Central. That's where the Highlanders will host Vincennes Lincoln. Clarksville and Charlestown play each other. We'll have some updates from that game as well. And, of course, a constant scoreboard every 10 to 15 minutes. We give you an area update on all of the teams across Clark and Floyd counties and even beyond on how high school football is going for week 3. 6 o'clock is the kickoff show. 7 o'clock is when the games kick off. We'll be with you until about 11:30 or so. We've got the Southern Indiana Scoreboard Show After the coverage wraps up, we talk with all the coaches on that program. We talk with media members. We give you scores from all around the area. It's a very active and fun way to track what's going on with high school football in the area. So make plans, whether you're going to a game this week or whether you're not going. You want to keep up with everything going on across the area. Make plans to be with us for Southern Indiana Football Fridays here on the Big X Sports Radio. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. We'll talk some IU basketball recruiting, other topics as well, and of course Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune, coming up later in the program here on this Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Wednesday program. Going to talk some IU basketball, specifically at least start off with some recruiting in this segment. Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic joins us. Dustin works for The Athletic, covering Indiana, Purdue, and Butler. And Dustin, great to have you with us again. Lots of activity this week from a recruiting perspective. I think we knew it was that time of year with fall visits and lists being cut and trying to make some final pushes in this senior class of high school basketball players, but not sure anybody expected a commitment so soon following Jordan Geronimo's visit to Indiana over the weekend. But with his commitment comes another commitment, not to the Indiana program, Matt Cross going to Miami, as I mentioned in our headlines segment today. I have to assume, Dustin, and I can't claim to know either player's game inside out like you might a Hoosier or somebody playing high school basketball in the state, but I've got to believe those commitments are somewhat connected because there is a number of similarities between Geronimo and Cross as college prospects. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, they're not the exact same player, but there's some similarity, and I think just basically I don't think Indiana could take, like, basically they got two scholarships open going into this weekend, you know, going into the Geronimo visit, and I don't think they were in a position where they could have taken two small forwards. I mean, I think there's got to be some, they've got to get something else, basically, out of this class that's not just, you know, a 2-3 wing type guy. So I don't know who called who or, you know, how exactly it went down. But you'd have to think basically between Geronimo, Matt Cross, and also Jalen Bridges was a guy that they were supposed to have come visit on October 4th, who also committed, I believe, I can't remember if it was Monday morning or Sunday morning now, but committed to his home state school, West Virginia. You know, again, he was a guy that Indiana was very interested in. Basically, it came down to, I think Indiana could have taken one of those guys, and the remaining scholarship has to go to either a guard that can score or a big, basically. There's got to be something else basically in that class. Because they've got a lot of guys, you know, basically Leo Galloway, Geronimo, 6'4", 6'5", 6'6". You know, very just wingish type of guys. There's got to be something outside of that box in this class. So I imagine that a big part of the reason, you know, I don't know if Cross knew about Indiana or, you know, if Indiana knew they weren't going to get Cross or what exactly happened, who told who what. But ultimately, I think it came down to the fact that if they were getting Geronimo, they weren't getting Cross.
Talking to Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, some recruiting on this Wednesday edition of the program. With Bridges off the board, Cross off the board, Geronimo in the fold now, in 2020, as far as names and visits and potentials to have on campus in this important time with college football and Hoosier hysteria, and of course things just getting late. The high school basketball season will be here before you know it. Most nowadays, not all, especially the upper echelon, want to make their commitment before the high school season, or at least at a reasonable point in their high school year before it gets too late. Who could be some names that you hear that you see Indiana might look to fill? Because Archie Miller just mentioned last week, this could be a big class for Indiana as far as numbers go.
Yeah, no, obviously the next visit they have coming up is Caleb Love, the point guard out of St. Louis. You know, Love would be a tough get. I mean, that would be something else. I mean, Kansas is offered, North Carolina is offered, is in his top six. Who else they got? Texas. I know Missouri, obviously, the local school is involved. So, I mean, getting Caleb Love is going to be tough, but they do have a visit. I believe it's the September 14th weekend, if I'm not mistaken, is when he is due in, and that would be the home Ohio State game. So that gives them a chance, basically, to put on their best, you know, to put their best foot forward. Obviously, you're going to have a, you know, as usual, packed house in Memorial Stadium for that game. Imagine this, the weekend will be pretty hopping, obviously. The likelihood of Indiana football actually pulling off a win in that game is an entirely different question. But at least it gets them in the door to see a, you know, just a passionate fan base and people who care. So that obviously is the big thing. Obviously, he's not looking to play Indiana football. He's looking to play Indiana basketball. So that helps, but that's not going to be an easy sell. I think a guy that, you know, really is worth looking at that I think Indiana fans should get acquainted with basically is Hassan Diarra. He's a point guard out of South Putnam, or I think it's Putnam Science Academy in Connecticut. Really tough kid, 6'3", 180-pound point guard. Just terrific moves, excellent finisher at the basket, decent shooter, but really good at just getting, just going to get into the rim and getting buckets. Also really good at passing the ball. You know, pretty good defender for a perimeter guy, for a guard. He's a guy I think is that I think, and I don't want to call him. He'll be the guy they settle on if they don't get Love. But I mean, he's a nice player, and I think if they ultimately don't get Caleb Love, I think they've got to get a guard who can really break down a defense and get some buckets and would be able to play next to Rob Finnessy, and I think he could do that for the time that they would both be in Indiana at the same time. So I think DR is a guy worth looking at if they don't ultimately get Caleb Love. I know there's, you know, they still want Dawson Garcia, and that's another guy, 6'11 center out of 6'11 really power forward out of Minnesota. He's a terrific player, but it's also another guy that they're going to have to go up against pretty much everybody for. I believe Kansas, North Carolina have already offered scholarships, and Kentucky and Duke are close to doing so. So that would be a really tough get. But he's a heck of a player as well. So if they ultimately go big, that would be the direction they would go. I mean, that would be a coup. But basically, out of the guys that I know they're looking at, that I think, you know, in terms of a guy that I think is reasonable, that's gettable, Hassan Diarra is the guy I think that I would circle.
Talking with Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, some IU basketball recruiting here on this Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. You had, as always, a really good piece on Jordan Geronimo shortly after his commitment, and we've talked so much. In fact, I struggle to find different ways to describe him. I don't know him. I haven't seen him live and in person. I've just read and seen, like most of us, videos and highlights, and there are some pieces of games from this past spring and summer online that you can find. I know some of the sites have linked in with their coverage, but that said, he is just such an intriguing prospect, and I struggle to find a way to describe him other than saying he's one of the biggest stock risers in high major basketball recruiting right now. Indiana really got in on him early, and he is somebody that, from your story, from other quotes, from other things he mentioned, somebody that really seemed to get Indiana and to get the tradition of basketball in the state and to get how important Assembly Hall is to be in and to play in and to be part of that program that's housed there. Did you get that feeling talking to him, talking to his coaches, that he really has an understanding and is an intelligent kid about what basketball means in our part of the country and in our state?
Yeah, no, I actually didn't talk to him first, and I talked to his coaches beforehand. But, yeah, no, I absolutely got that. Basically, they just think he's just a terrific kid all in all. I mean, his school is more of an academic powerhouse than it is a basketball powerhouse, to be honest. And, you know, they're just impressed with him across the board in terms of just who he is and how he recognizes things. But, yeah, from everybody else who did get him on the phone, I was definitely taken and struck by that. The fact that he managed to take that in very quickly and understand, you know, the history and basically what it would mean to play at a program like that. I mean, it was just very quickly understood, you know, this is what Assembly Hall is, and obviously took in, you know, the sales pitch certainly that he was getting for Marcy Miller, but definitely had sort of a respect and an understanding for what it means at that level. And obviously that's a really key piece to all of it, too, is having kids that want to be there. You know, Jordan Geronimo obviously does not look at Indiana as a backup idea. Like, I mean, he's very much sold on what they can bring, and can tell that it's kind of an honor for him to be in this position. Like you said, he's a star, you know, a high. You know, his stock has raised quickly. He had a really good season, you know, with MAC rivals, and on the Adidas Gauntlet series this summer, and that really, you know, picked up. Basically, just people could see the athletic ability, his ability to shoot the ball. He just really fits as a 3-and-D wing. So, like, you know, seeing an Indiana show up on his offer list, I think it's something that, obviously sort of, you know, raised his eyebrows a little bit and said, okay, this is something I really need to look at. And I think it says a lot that, you know, he had a couple of other visits scheduled. I mean, I think he was supposed to go see Georgia. He was supposed to go see Boston College. So for him to get to Indiana and say, no, this is where I want to be, definitely says a lot for, you know, basically how he viewed IU and how he viewed just everything about the, you know, tradition and history of being an Indiana Hoosier.
Dustin Dolpirak of The Athletic is my guest. We're talking some IU basketball recruiting. Exciting player because of how good he has gotten. We had his high school, his prep school coach on last week as well. And to hear how hard he's worked and some of the natural things with his body and growth in the game that have happened, and knowing what his ceiling could be, who knows? Is it NBA? Is it a really good college career? Or is it not much more? You just don't know. But it's exciting to think about how much better, what he's done in the last few months, even the last year really, and where he could potentially go with the type of body and athleticism that he has. And you also hear his coach mention defense and being an elite defender, and that's not always the way that you hear players described, although Trey Galloway also in that class has been recognized as a really good defender as well. I guess my point is, that said, when a player has the upside and a player has been on the rise in the fashion that he has, it sure adds some excitement and imagination to the minds of IU basketball fans that are looking for the next superstar.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think just also the fact that it took a while for him, you know, to really blow up, I think makes a difference. Because like you said, you know, the fact that he cares about defense, this is not necessarily a kid that has been told the entire time, you know, you're going to be an NBA player, just coast, you know, just be that guy, you know, that guy that comes into basketball games and they say, hey, just don't foul, you know, like, I mean, I guess play defense, put some token pressure on there, but just don't get in foul trouble because we need you to score 25 or 30 tonight because it's our only chance. You know, that's not how he's been taught necessarily. He's had to pick up all of these things piece by piece. And, but yeah, I mean, he is a really good defender. He's really smart kid. Basically, Max Gordon, I know you had him on. I talked to him as well. Just talked a lot about his basketball IQ. And one thing he said was, he's an excellent shot blocker at the high school level, in part because he's just really good at being in position, getting where he's supposed to go, and being good on help side and sort of knowing, okay, how do I get to you know, where I need to be to block this guy's shot? If I'm seeing somebody else who's not my man driving, how do I keep myself, you know, close enough to my man, but also, you know, show the ability to block the shot? And he's averaging 3 blocks a game. And obviously, you get that high school level. If you're 6'6", that's not crazy. And you can't imagine that it'll be anywhere near close to that if he's a college guy. But it's something that he can do. It's another sort of piece of the puzzle for him, something else that he's got the ability to pull off. So there's a lot of pieces there. I mean, I think obviously he's got to make some improvements. Basically, he's got to get better off the bounce. He's got to be able to pass a little bit better. There's got to be just overall better guard skills. But, you know, again, physical kid, great shot, terrific athletic ability. And, yeah, that gives you something you can dream on for sure.
Talking to Dustin Dolpirak of The Athletic, IU basketball recruiting. I know we've touched on this before, Dustin, when you've been on the program, but really in the 2020 class, outside of Leland Galloway, who both are in the fold for Indiana as verbal commits, I think Indiana watched and looked. I guess you could use the word recruited some of the other players in the class. I'm not sure how serious, I'm not sure how hard they really did. But now that those two are in the fold for Indiana, and now that the other, I don't know, top 3, 4, 5 are committed to play good levels, high major level for the most part of college basketball, there really isn't a lot left in state to turn to as far as players to track this upcoming season in the senior class. But even though that's the case, my goodness, the younger classes, as we've talked about before, there is no shortage of high major prospects, of IU targets and IU prospects in those classes. It won't be I can't see any upcoming class where it's, oh, you want to get 2 players and you're done with that class as far as Indiana guys go. It just some loaded classes coming down the pipe.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you got to you're going to have to fight some people off. Is sort of the other piece to it. When you get to 2021, especially when you're dealing with, you know, Caleb First and Christian Lander and Kaufman's the other one, right?
Yes.
The kid from Sellersburg. Yeah. So those 3 are going to be, you know, just obviously huge recruits, you know, nationwide. It's not going to be a case of getting in on them. It's going to be the case of somehow finding a way to word off everybody else that's going to be coming into state to try to get him, certainly, especially with the guys down south, you know, with Lander in particular, you know, with Louisville being right across the river and Kentucky as well. But, you know, those guys are going to, you know, make a run, make a push. Keeping some of those guys in state is going to be a very difficult thing to do. Basically, everybody's going to be going after those guys. And there's some depth, like you said, into that class as well. And those are the three top 50 players, but there's definitely more going on beyond that. So it's going to be very interesting to see what, you know, I feel like if you're Indiana, you feel like you've got to get one of those three, you know, basically to really make a big impact in that class. You want to get one of those guys. Blake Wesley from Riley up in South Bend is another guy that I imagine that they'll be looking at. Going forward from there, there's just going to be a lot of talent in the state of Indiana to try to keep in town. This wasn't a horrible class. It wasn't a great class. There was enough. I mean, I think sending six guys to high majors is pretty impressive. And again, a lot of other states, that would be, you know, a banner year. So that's still a good solid class. And obviously getting two guys that I think are foundational pieces in Leal and Galloway is important. I mean, Indiana had to go, I think, really get those guys. I think those were the most important. Those were the players that out of everybody in the class was most important for them to get. But yeah, going forward, there are some blue shippers coming in the state, and they're going to have to get at least some of those guys. They probably won't keep all of them in state, but they're going to have to get at least some of those players to kind of keep the direction going the right way.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic is with me. Great stuff on recruiting. You know, Dustin, that school is back in session and that Hoosier hysteria must not be far away, which means the college basketball season is behind that. When you start seeing Coach Marshall and Dr. Rink and some of the others doing fitness tests, he had a, I don't know if you saw him earlier, I think it was yesterday actually, a string of tweets with some videos of the players hooked up to a contraption that was measuring their aerobic endurance and their heart and lung function to make sure they're at a high level, I'm sure. You know that's when it's official, when the players are back on campus and the preseason fitness test has began. So college basketball is not too far away.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't see that one, but that's when, you know, there's like, especially now that everybody has an Instagram and a Twitter presence, you're starting to see video of this stuff come out that, you know, we're not allowed to go actually watch, you know, as media members, but now they can obviously, you know, take the best stuff that they get from some of these, you know, like I said, you know, fitness test events and put it out there. And it looks pretty impressive. Although I will say the most impressive thing I've seen as far as any of that is concerned from anybody is what I saw from Purdue. They showed that Travion Williams ran a 5:39 mile. That's a dude who was 280 pounds last year. And that's cooking.
Wow.
I mean, that is absolutely, for a kid that size, I mean, that's crazy. Like, you know, I ran the mile in high school. That's the best mile I've ever run in my life. And this kid, he is literally double my weight. Like, he is pretty much exactly double my weight, and he's running a 5:39 mile. They need him to lose some weight. They need him to get down a few pounds to be able to play power forward and keep Matt Harms at the five, so they can use some big lineups up at Purdue. And if they could do that, that'd be a big deal. So that certainly shows a lot, basically, for what Purdue might be capable of if that guy can lose some weight and can move like that.
You mentioned Purdue. I was also going to mention you had your State of the Program series, which continued. I think it came out earlier today.
Really in-depth
piece on Butler. And, again, I recommend fans. I know we have lots of IU fans predominantly on this program, but it's really good reading and across the board on not just what you're producing here in Indiana, but it's a great feature that The Athletic has on college basketball programs across the country. But really interesting, especially I think when it comes to our in-state programs, to get a in-depth read about where they're at as the 2019-2020 season draws a little closer. So you had the opportunity to write about Butler and get pretty in-depth on their program, and if you would, for a minute, preview what you found there and encourage readers to check that out.
Yeah, no, I am very intrigued by what Butler's going to be, because I think they are very angry about how last season went, and, you know, basically failing to make the NCAA tournament. I think that's the first time that anybody, you know, the four-year guys had been to the tournament, you know, the rest of their seasons, basically. I mean, they've gotten used to getting to the tournament, even as they've been in the Big East. I mean, even if they've started to deal with a much tougher level of competition than they used to when they were just owning the Horizon League, you know, they have still been able to trust that they'll be top four, top five in the Big East and get in. And that didn't happen last year. Now, obviously, it's a very motivated group, but they also just filled in, I think, the holes that they had. I mean, I think they had some talented players on last year's team, but where there were some areas of some clear weakness. I mean, I think, I think Sean McDermott is a terrific shooter and can do a lot of things really, really well, but, you know, I mean, he's checking in at under 200 pounds, and he's technically your power forward. That's not necessarily ideal. Obviously, it's matchups, helps the matchup for you on the offensive end. You can drag a guy out. But there were some players that he just could not defend, he tried his heart out, and he really, the kid fights, but you want a real power forward, and now they've got one in Bryce Enzi, the transfer that came from Milwaukee, who had been coached by LaValle Jordan his first year over there. I think that gives them, that's a huge additional piece. I think getting Derek Smith, they obviously lose Joey Grunk, and that's an issue, but going and get a seven-footer like Derek Smith, I think it really worked out well for Butler and for Indiana. I think Indiana needed a guy like Joey Grunk, and I think Butler needed a guy like Derek Smith. So that worked out, I think, really well for them to get them a true center. And they've got some guys that are healthy now. Bryce Golden was a guy that had a shoulder injury all last year, never really got to play. So he's back, and I think he should be able to make some strides, give them some depth in there. I think John Michael Malloy is a really tough kid out of Carmel. I was really impressed with what I saw from him on the Indiana All-Star Series. I think he's going to be a really good reserve there. I think a really big piece is if Jordan Tucker makes a leap. I mean, I think you saw some flashes from him last year when he became eligible. He's the kid that transferred from Duke. I think he's got all Big East caliber potential. The question is it going to show up? He had issues last year finishing around the rim. He's a 6'7 kid with a ton of bounce and a lot of skill, but for some reason he had a real hard time making buckets in the paint. Shot significantly better from three than he did from two, and that just, he would get the ball in the lane and he would just, either fumble it away or just brick layups right off the rim when he's literally right there. And it's a tiny little layup that he couldn't finish. So, I mean, if he starts finishing those, you're going to see his scoring numbers go up a lot. You need him to become a better defender if he can do that. He's got a chance of being an All-Big East player. Kamar Baldwin already is, and he's particularly motivated after the way last season went. So I think if you have those two guys really serving as anchors, you got a really terrific defender, I think, and point guard in Aaron Thompson, and finally got some of these spots with the bigs filled in. So they've got a much more complete roster. I think that's a tournament-looking team this year.
Dustin Dopierak with TheAthletic.com. He covers Indiana, Purdue, and Butler, and just gave a great rundown of his in-depth state of the program with the Butler program. You can read that at TheAthletic.com. Dustin, always great to have you with us. Some recruiting chat, always fun to preview the season as well. I know we'll do more of it, so I'll talk with you again very soon.
Sounds good. Thanks so much, Matt.
All right, Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, kind enough to join us on this Wednesday program. We'll get ready for a quick commercial break. When we come back, Craig Pearson of the News and Tribune will be with me. Week 3 of high school football coming up Friday night. Some interesting games, including a big rivalry, New Albany and Jeffersonville, on this Week 3 of high school football. And I mentioned a little update on Jeffersonville's coaching search in the headline segment of our program. Craig has been all over that as well, and we'll discuss that coming up in the next segment. Again, our chat with Craig each week, presented by Major League Shirt Company. We'll be back with more. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back. Final segment of the program on Wednesdays. We spend with Craig Pearson. He's sports editor of the News and Tribune, and he's always on to talk local sports headlines, including topics that he and the sports team have written or are working on for the News and Tribune and the sports page. This segment, new sponsor this week, is presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. They offer custom apparel to meet any of your apparel needs, T-shirts, uniforms, corporate wear, promotional items, anything from screen print, embroidery, or fully sublimated uniforms. Let Major League Shirt Company outfit your team or organization today. You can find out more at mlshirtco.com. Craig, lots going on. I think we should start with high school football. We're buzzing through the early portion of the season as we head into week three, and it's hard to believe New Albany and Jeff headlines things on Friday nights, one of the states in the area's great rivalries. It doesn't matter what sport, it doesn't matter how big the crowd is, it doesn't matter if the teams are ranked or have college prospects or who the coaches are. When New Albany and Jeff hook up specifically on basketball and football, it's a big deal.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that was one of the first things I covered when I started here was New Albany at Jeff and boys basketball. And yeah, the buzz in the gym was outstanding. It was just incredible atmosphere, and look forward to something similar in football. I mean, I have been to Jeffersonville's home games thus far, and they've had some nice crowds out, and I anticipate a really nice crowd on Friday night there at Blair Field. And I think it could be a pretty interesting, even matchup, I would think. I mean, New Albany, obviously, with the strong week one performance, getting that W against what appears to not be a great Evansville-Harrison team. But, in Jeffersonville's just, they're just struggling with some mistakes, I think, and tightening up a lot of different things and eliminating some penalties. And, man, it sounds like they might have been able to beat Seymour had they not fumbled. I mean, that's a huge what if because
sure. –
But, turnovers are – winning that turnover battle in football, it's hard to say there's anything more important than that, and Jeff did not do that, so that, that's easy to say, let's just fix that. But they do have some talent. It's evident they do have some talent out there, and I think the same – we can say the same for New Albany. There's just going to be a learning curve with some young players that Steve Cooley's got out there with Keandre Winford and others that are getting – their first varsity big time action, so they're certainly going to be on a somewhat big stage there Friday night.
Talking with Craig Pearson of the News and Tribune, this segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company. Week three is also interesting. It's not just New Albany and Jeff. I like the prospects of Silver Creek and Providence. Silver Creek 2-0, both of those games so far have been conference games. Providence, of course, went down to Bardstown, Kentucky to defeat Bethlehem in week one, then came back closer to home last week and had a tough challenge against a big school in Floyd Central. And I think Silver Creek will definitely be a challenge for Providence, but I think it's a doable challenge that could end up as a competitive game.
I think you're right. I mean, I think Providence impressed in how long they hung around with Floyd Central and were right there. And I mean, I think that's a really good Floyd Central team. I mean, maybe not a great Floyd Central team, but a pretty strong team. And, I think Silver Creek, how good is the Silver Creek team? They've got a couple nice wins. They beat a strong Charlestown team. They went up to Salem and got a nice win. And, I think going on the road here is another big challenge for them. And, I think it really is a hard game to pick. I mean, honestly, I mean, Silver Creek's defense has been very stout. Can they keep – and I think Providence, Coach Dennison has praised their offensive line play for kind of dictating the action there and doing a nice job so far in their first two games. And, so that's this battle up front there stands out to me as important in this matchup.
Craig Pearson of the News and Tribune, this segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. Craig, any surprises to you in football so far? I know we're still pretty early, still figuring things out. I'm not yet ready to make my midseason claim on who could at least compete the best, in my opinion, for some postseason success. But anything stood out to you or surprised you so far?
Oh, I mean, I don't know if it's surprised. I do remember talking with we touched on Floyd Central a bit. Winker's right. I think he ran for about 700 yards last year, so he's on his way to surpassing that already after the 350-yard performance. And gosh, I mean, I feel like that team does have some pretty good potential to be a sectional type of contender there at the end of the year, if some other things come together for them. Gosh, I don't know. I mean, so this Silver Creek team, I tell you, I mean, I think, like you said, if that defense is, continually holding teams under 10 points, you got to figure that team could make some noise as well. you know, I don't know. I think that's those are a couple of the big things. I think we touched on it last week with Charlestown. You know, they've certainly, gosh, I don't know. It's hard to put your finger on, you know, why they didn't come through in those first two games and very close ball games. But, you know, you want to see that offense really get untracked with Marion Lukes and see if he can, you know, I think the fact that they're moving him at different positions maybe is taking some adjustments for them to perfect what they're trying to accomplish there and that diversity of their offense. So that could be a team that could make some noise as well.
I said that before the season looked pretty bad when they went 0-2, but then again, we have to factor who they played in those first 2 weeks. I still think Charlestown will have a good season when it's all said and done. Craig Pearson of the News and Tribune is my guest. He's always with me Wednesdays. We talk local sports. Craig, you and I sat here last Wednesday, and we knew that within moments, hours, maybe a day at the most, there would be a announcement that was already leaking out unofficially, but it would become official that Joe Luce was departing Jeffersonville. And if it's the end of the season, if it's the off season, still maybe a little surprising, especially when you're having some success and there are good thoughts really on a statewide level about your team. But when it happens late August, early September, it's just absolutely shocking to everybody. So we couldn't really report anything. It's high school stuff. You got to be careful. There really wasn't a source to confirm some of the details that have been swirling around the Southern Indiana basketball community, but we now can talk about it. You've written a number of things about it. Jeffersonville has an opening here in the early part of September for basketball, which begins this week with limited contact practices.
Yeah, I mean, it's big news if it's just a so-so average team at a program like that or anywhere for that matter and then Southern Indiana, you know, but yeah, you know, it's a difficult thing to handle for a school corporation at this point in the year. So no doubt about it. And it's difficult to, you know, I'm curious how challenging it is for applicants that are already head coaches somewhere, you know what I mean? And they're like, oh man, I'm interested in that job, but can I just bail my, I hate to say the word bail, but you know what I mean? It is, sure. You know, but it's a great, it would be a great opportunity for a young up and coming coach or a veteran coach for that matter, interested in moving up in the world and moving up to a 4A school that has a chance to be there and the end of the last team standing in March. I mean, that's, you know, anybody in the right mind would might want to get their name in there. And I might want to apply. I don't know. No, I'm kidding. But no, that's a great team they have coming back. So it's, you know, best of luck to Coach Luce as he, you know, takes care of spending time with his family and moves on to find another opportunity at some point.
Absolutely. Craig Pearson of the News and Tribune, my guest, talking about the untimely opening at Jeffersonville. I mentioned earlier, I did check in with Todd Satterley this morning. They're beginning to review applicants. Obviously, timely, you know, making this quick is of the hope, but definitely by the end of the month at the longest. Again, the question is still out there. Do you hire an interim coach for 1 year and find somebody that maybe is involved or has been involved or is near the Jeffersonville program or has got a great basketball resume that maybe is retired that'll do this thing for a year? Or do you, because it's Jeff and because of the expectations and because of how good they can be and the talent they have, do you swipe away a coach at this point that is ready, as you say, to kind of walk away for a better situation and jump full-time permanently from this point forward to Jeffersonville? So a couple schools of thoughts. Ultimately, it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. There's some big decisions to be made by the administration at Jeffersonville, and I'm assuming the entire school corporation, because this can be a really good season. I think everybody understands that for Jeffersonville. They have that mix of senior leaderships, young talent that's coming through the program. Just a really good time right now to be a Red Devil.
Yeah, you laid it out really well. I think that's what the administrators there have to consider. And I think they probably are considering those options where, you know, we name someone an interim for this year that's going to, you know, be somebody the kids can rally around. I think that's got to be important, somebody the kids are going to connect with and that sort of thing, and try to have a big year. I mean, and maybe that person earns further opportunity by doing really well. Or, you know, yeah, you're impressed by all the candidates and you're ready to hire someone for the long term, hopefully, and that sort of thing. But, yeah, I mean, Superintendent Mark Loftner told us that, you know, they've put a committee together, or hope to have a committee together very quick after posting the job last week. And, you know, he said, I hope to have someone in place within the next 2 weeks, hopefully by the 17th school board meeting. So, you know, that is definitely moving fast. But I think, like we've said, it's a very attractive job with, I would think, some pretty strong candidates. And, you know, yeah, I threw out some names in a column last week. Just, you know, I think everyone understands Sharon Wilkerson's an alum, but just took a job at Madison in May. So, I mean, that's tricky. You know, I threw out Matt Lynch of New Albany grad, and who's done an awesome job at Tell City. You know, one name I've heard is recently departed IUPUI coach Jason Gardner. I mean, you know, the guy got into some trouble there with a you know, OWI arrest and lost that job. But, you know, he'd obviously you know, be a very high profile candidate that might do a good job there. And I think you know, it could be interesting. That's probably a tricky situation there too, but considering that recent events. But, you know, I think you know, you never know. You know, it's just going to be an interesting time there as they get somebody into place, and hopefully as soon as possible.
Interesting time at Jeffersonville. Loads of talent for whoever gets the job to work with in the coming weeks ahead, and definitely, as Todd Satterley told me earlier, by the end of the month. Craig, thank you. Also, welcome to our segment sponsor, Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. If you're looking to raise money for your team or event, let the fan stores that Major League Shirt Company can offer outfit your fans and raise money with very little effort. They even do the sorting. You just cash the check. That sounds pretty good. Find out more about Major League Shirt Company at mlshirtco.com. Craig Pearson, thank you. That's going to wrap things up for this Wednesday program. Talk to you tomorrow on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.